Monday the 16th of February, Kof Beis Shvat, Rabbi Rashi Simon, Tamei HaMitzvos.
It's a pleasure to be with you here this morning. Parshas Mishpatim, of course, is suffused with mitzvahs. It's the introduction to Jewish civil law, the laws regulating Jewish society. And the question of Tamei HaMitzvos, at least to me, is immediately prominent when considering or trying to understand the basis for all of the mitzvahs in the Torah. And I'd like to suggest that the idea of Tamei HaMitzvos is hinted to in the very first Rashi in the parasha. Ve'ela ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem. Now, because the words are so familiar to us, and this is true for many passages in the Torah, particularly for such an erudite gathering as we have here today, we often overlook the nuances of the verses simply because they're so familiar to us. The words asher tasim lifnehem are actually very surprising. Ve'ela ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem, which you shall place before them. Why doesn't the Torah say asher telamdeim or ela mishpatim asher titzaveim, that you shall, or even titein lahem, which you shall give to them? Well, my notes are somewhere. We would have expected the Torah to use a more forceful turn of phrase. Asher tasim lifnehem is almost like you're giving them the option. Put it before them. If they want it, they'll take it. If they don't want it, they'll leave it. Asher tasim lifnehem, which you shall array before them for their consideration, for their contemplation. And of course, we know that firstly, this is not the case, because the mitzvahs of the Torah are obligatory. They're incumbent upon us. And secondly, it's not the style of the Torah where we have asher, as I said, telamdeim or titein lahem, at least, where you shall give to them, place before them, is not even giving to them. So Rashi says, I think Rashi is alert to this, when he says, it's the second Rashi in the parasha, really. Asher tasim lifnehem, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Lo ta'ale al datcha, do not imagine, do not let it occur to you, Lomar eshaneh lehem haperek v'halacha, I will teach to them the subject matter, the halacha, shtayim o shosh pa'amim, two or three times, ad shetei sedura b'fihem k'mishna sa, until they are fluent in it, until it's a matter of that's very familiar to them, until they have a thorough acquaintance with it. I'll repeat it. Ad shedei sedura b'fihem k'mishna sa. They know it thoroughly. Don't think that's what you should not do. Don't teach it two or three times until they know it thoroughly and think that you have discharged your responsibility as a teacher of Torah. It's not so. And Rashi continues, Ve'eni matriach atzmi lahavinam tamei hadava uferusho. But I'm not going to trouble myself to explain to them tamei hadavar, the reasons for the matters, uferusho, and its explanation. Lekach ne'emar asher tasim lifnehem. Therefore the Torah says, asher tasim lifnehem. And Rashi concludes with the famous imagery, kushulchan ha'aruch umuchan lechol lifnei ha'adam, like a table which is prepared and arrayed, ready for a person to eat. I think that Rashi, as always, has chosen his words with the utmost care and precision. The imagery as well. Rashi says, do not imagine that it's sufficient to teach the subject to them so they know it thoroughly, but not to explain the reasons. Tame hadava uferusho. And then Rashi uses, as we've seen, that famous imagery of the table. Now, a table, if you think about it, food. Tame hamitzvos means the taste of the mitzvah, literally. If we think about it, mitzvahs nourish us spiritually. And this is an analogy to food, which nourishes us physically. Food has different components. There are different aspects of food. Food has taste, it has texture, it has aroma, it has an appearance, and has its nutritive value. To me, it's obvious that the essence of the food is not the aroma or the appearance or the taste, but it's the nutritive value of the food. Food which has a good taste but is not healthy for you, you can't live on that kind of food, even though many of us have tried. You need food which nourishes you. The nutritive value of the food is, of course, the essence of it. But food which is nourishing, which is nutritious, but it doesn't taste good, it's very bland, or maybe even the taste is not to our liking, and even if its appearance is unappealing, then we're not going to eat it very often. We're only going to eat it to the minimum necessity, you know, the minimum net level that we require. Tamei HaMitzvahs are very similar. A mitzvah nourishes us spiritually. Performing a mitzvah, and performing a mitzvah generally, is what gives us life in the spiritual sense. But of course, if the mitzvah has a ta'am, if it has a taste, if it is appealing, if we want it, if it is enjoyable and pleasurable and attractive and alluring, then of course we are going to embrace it with much more enthusiasm and much more regularity as well. And this is the significance, I think, of that imagery. Kishulchan ha'aruch u'muchan lifnei ha'adam. U'muchan le'achol lifnei ha'adam. A table which is laden with food which is so attractive, so alluring, so appealing, and so tasty. Of course, a person is going to then take that up on his own. And Rashi here, I think, is explaining why the Torah uses that expression, asher tasim lifnehem. And I think that this is the mission and the responsibility of one who comes to teach Torah. Now, I'd like to take up the wider question of Tamei HaMitzvahs, and then we'll come back to the subject of teaching Torah, hopefully towards the end. The subject of Tamei HaMitzvahs actually is very controversial. And it's so controversial that many people actually shy away from it. And we'll soon see the reason for the controversy, but just to put it briefly in a historical context, during the Middle Ages, when the dispute, the Pulmus HaPhilosophia, was raging, Tamei HaMitzvahs was one of the arenas for that dispute. The question of the philosophical speculation, those who favored a philosophical approach to the Torah, naturally had an interest and a sympathy for the enterprise of Tamei HaMitzvahs, trying to understand the reasons for the mitzvahs. There were others who were very uncomfortable with it, who felt that by seeking to speculate or to identify the reason for a particular mitzvah, one was running the risk of devaluing that very mitzvah. I just want to give you an example of that. We find in the tour, in the Tur Yoredeh, Simin Kuf Pei Aleph, Hakafas Harosh VaHashchasas HaZakein, with respect to what we call payas, which means to shave the corners of one's head, Hakafas Harosh, and the beard as well. And the Torah doesn't tell us why it forbids trimming certain parts of the head. And the Torah says as follows: Gam be'elu kasav haRambam. That's how the Torah begins. Gam be'elu kasav haRambam she'asram hakasu v'nei she'osin kein ovdei kochavim. Here as well, the Rambam writes in Moreh Nevuchim that the reason that the Torah forbids trimming the sideburns, let's say, is because this was the habit of the ovdei kochavim, of the idolaters. Adkan. That's the brief citation of the Rambam in the Torah. Then the Torah continues, "V'zeh einu mufurash." This is not explicit in the Torah. "V'ein anu tzichim levakesh ta'am lemitzvos." We do not need to seek out a reason for the mitzvos. "Ki mitzvos melech heim aleinu af lo neida ta'aman." Because these are the commandments of the king upon us, even if we don't know the reasons for it. And then the Torah goes on to explain the halachos. Just to put this in the context, some of you may know I have an interest in history, and therefore I hope you'll indulge me just for a moment. The Tur was written by Rabbeinu Yaakov Bal HaTurim, Yaakov ben HaRush. The Rush, Rabbeinu Asher ben Yechiel, was the leading Talmud of Maharam Rothenberg. Maharam Rothenberg, therefore, was very influential in the transmission of the halachic system. Often he's overlooked because he didn't write a sefer of Chuvas Maharam Rothenberg. Of course, you know the famous story. He was the captive rabbi as well. That we definitely don't have time for. That's for individual study. You can read the story of the captive rabbi. Fascinating tale. But Maharam Rothenberg lived, of course, in Germany. He was the bearer of the Ashkenazic halakhic tradition. The Rush was his Talmud, and the Tur was the son of the Rush. The Tur lived most of his life in Spain, in Toledo, because the Rush fled from Germany to Spain. But in this sense, the Tur was able to access, and that's why the Tur is so influential, because the Tur was able to access the Ashkenazic tradition through his father, and the Sephardic literature, the Sephardic authorities through his surroundings in Toledo. Here, though, the Tur definitely is consistent with the Ashkenazic perspective, not with the Spanish school, which was, as we've said already, more sympathetic to philosophical speculation. And the Tur apparently rejects the Rambam outright. Says the Beis Yosef, Shedato, he says, Dvarav Mevu'arim, says the Beis Yosef about the Tur, Shedato lachlok ha-Rambam, he is coming to disagree with the Rambam. Lama levakesh lo tam midato l'shum mitzvah. Why is it that a person should seek to understand or to speculate, to conjecture upon the reason through his own understanding of a mitzvah? Sheilu lo hayu yodim tam hamitzvahs lo hayu nimitzuvim la'asosam. If he doesn't know the reason, then he's not obligated to do the mitzvah. That's what the Tur thought about the Rambam, and that's why the Tur rejected the Rambam. He wasn't happy with the Rambam's enterprise to try to understand the reason for the mitzvahs. Says the Beis Yosef, "Ein hadavar kein," but that's a mistake. Ki mitzvas melech heim aleinu va'afim lo nida tamam. Anu mitzuvim la'asosam. We're obligated to do it. Okay. Va'ani omer dechasle laharambam milamispar hachi. Says the Beis Yosef, "Heaven forfend that the Rambam had that opinion." That the Rambam was of the view that if we can't explain the mitzvah adequately, then we don't have to do it. Who is it who will have more concern for the sanctity and the compulsory nature of Torah mitzvahs other than the Rambam? The Rambam at the end of Hilchos Me'ila, if you take a look what the Rambam says there, then you'll see. V'kiyotzevim kosev esof Hilchos Temura, uvesof Hilchos Megvaos, umisham nisbonen shedato za lomar. Now I'll just tell you what the Rambam writes there at the end of Me'ila. The Rambam, or maybe we'll finish the verse, then I'll tell you what the Rambam, we'll do the Rambam as well. So he says, if you look it up there, then you'll see the approach of the Rambam. Sha'afal pi shekol chukei ha-Torah gzeras ha-melachein, even though all the commandments of the Torah are a decree of the king, mikomakom koma shuchal avakesh lo tam, to the extent that we can understand the reason behind it, noma ki tam, okay, he gives a certain example of it, I'm sorry. To the extent that we're able to understand the reason, we should try to propose it. And that which we cannot find a reason which is satisfactory to us, which we find personally compelling or satisfying, we'll have to attribute it to our shortcomings. We are obligated to fulfill the mitzvahs nevertheless. Then the Beis Yosef goes on to explain that the Rambam was not just speculating. He said, well, probably the Torah forbade it because this was the habit of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But he says, if you look at the Psukim there, you'll see that it's a bit of a pun here. Elamidasa kotsiv shimatzam mukafos milifnehim umeacharem. Because we're talking about the mitzvah hakapas harosh. So he says mukafos milifnehim acharem. Mitzvah saneesaros mishum chukei haakum. Sharei kotsiv lifnehim lo suchlu al hadam lo senachashu lo sonenu. Before the mitzvah of the prohibition of shaving the head, the Torah mentions various commandments associated with idolatry, against sorcery and things of that sort. And then after, then it says uksiv esert lenefesh. Uksavas ka'aka v'harei ze kimefurash shakavas harosh v'ashkasas azakan nesru mipnei shahayu osin ken akum. So the Beis Yosef says that if you look at the context of the Psukim, you'll see that the Torah does imply that the Iser, the prohibition of shaving one's sideburns or the corners of the head, is in fact related to Iser Avodah Zarah. This is how the Beis Yosef explains or defends the Rambam against the criticism of the Torah. The Beis Yosef, of course, representing in this respect here the Sephardic tradition, although he was much more sympathetic to Kabbalah than he was to philosophy, but he defends the Rambam here. It was left to the Darkei Moshe to come to the defense of the Tur, because the Darkei Moshe says that the Beis Yosef has misunderstood the Tur in suggesting that the Tur imputes to the Rambam the notion that if we don't understand the reason for the mitzvah, we don't have to do it. Says the Darkei Moshe, Vani omer gam ken chasle l'rabbeinu shiachshob b'kisheres kumha Rambam. Heaven forfend that the Tur should be guilty of suspecting the Rambam. Lemispar alav sheizvar sheim lo yodim tama mitzvos lo hinu mitzuvim la'asos. To suggest that the Rambam was of the view that if we don't know the reason, we don't have to keep it. Lo matzina b'shum chacham Yisrael sheyamin bazeh. We don't find any sage of Israel who had that idea. Elahu rak derech ha. This is the style only of those who cast off the yoke of the Torah. They only believe that which their own intellect understands. He says this is the path of the those who cast off the yoke of the Torah. Certainly the Rambam never believed such a thing, and certainly the Tur did not mean to suggest that the Rambam believed it. I'm sorry, this print that I'm using is not very good, so it's hard for me to read it. Okay, basically this is what the Darkei Moshe says in defending the Tur. Okay, basically the Darkei Moshe defends the Tur. He says the Tur didn't mean to even suggest that this is the opinion of the Rambam. He just meant to say that do not think that the Isur is limited to a case of someone who is mimicking the ways of the idolaters, and if a person lives in a time and place where the idolatrous followers of the various cults do not have this habit, therefore the mitzvah does not apply. The Tur wants to clarify that is not the case. In any case, we have here, as I say, an example of one of the very important demarcation lines, the fault lines, between those who were sympathetic to philosophy and those who were opposed to it. This has a contemporary resonance because, as the Darkei Moshe himself alludes to, it has indeed become the case that many people believe that the commandments of the Torah were given at a certain time and place for limited reasons, for limited duration, responding to sociological concerns of that ancient world, and therefore, time has marched on, and this idea, this perspective is common, obviously, in Reform circles, and one even encounters it in the uneducated sort of hamun am, even among those who are more traditional. The notion that really the commandments of the Torah are a bit outmoded nowadays, and the reason that they imagine it outmoded is exactly because of the pitfall of the Tamei HaMitzvos. And for that reason, the matter, as I said today, has become a little bit controversial. I want to just share with you what the Rambam says, though, at the end of Me'ilah, and you can find the same thing as we saw in the Beis Yosef, also the end of Mikvos, also the end of Temura. Ro'i la'adam hisbonei b'mishpatei ha'torah kadosh v'leidah sofin yanam kefi kocho. It's appropriate for a person to contemplate the words of the Torah and to try to understand them to the best of his ability. But he says right away, "V'davar shelo yinsa bo tam," but something which he cannot find a reason for, "V'lo yida lo ile," and he doesn't find an explanation, "Al yihikal be'inav," he should not therefore treat it lightly, "V'al yaharos la'alos el Hashem," penny frotz bo. And he should not presume to say, well, this mitzvah has no explanation which I find personally compelling, and therefore I don't need to adhere to it. Let him not break through to rise up against the Lord, lest the Lord break forth upon him, from last week's parsha. So the Rambam goes on in that vein, and he affirms both the importance of seeking to understand the reasons for the mitzvahs, and yet at the same time warning a person against imagining that his explanation is the true explanation, and of course therefore thinking that if he doesn't find an explanation to his liking, that he need not adhere to that mitzvah. I once put it very simply: the reason that we do the mitzvahs of the Torah is the same for all of them. Hashem commanded us. The reason that Hashem commanded us, that is different for each mitzvah. The reason that Hashem commanded us to do the mitzvah is a worthy subject of our study and our inquiry and our creativity and our delving into the meaning and the depth of the Torah. There's another important source for the subject of Tamei HaMitzvos, one of many, which I'd just like to mention, and that is the mitzvah Shiluach HaKan, Shiluach HaKen. In the Parsha Kisetze, we have the mitzvah Shiluach HaKen, and there's a fascinating Ramban, and those who are not familiar with it, I think you'd find it very fruitful to spend a few minutes studying what the Ramban says there about the mitzvah Shiluach HaKen. He quotes the Rambam as well, and then he quotes the famous Mishnah in Brachos, HaOmer Al Kan Tzipor Yagiu Rachamecha Mashtikin Oso. Someone who says, a shalich tzibor, in the old days, a shalich tzibor would actually articulate and compose the prayers of his own making. And he was literally the one who was designated by the tzibor to articulate their thoughts and prayers and hopes. And therefore there is a certain amount of latitude the shalich tzibor had, but the mission in certain places limits that latitude and warns us against certain formulations which perhaps were popular and were dangerous. And the Mishnah says, HaOmer Al Kan Tzipor Yagiu Rachamecha Mashtikin Oso. Someone who says, a Sheikh Tzibur who says in his praise of Hashem that your mercies extend even to the mother bird, because you have commanded us to chase the mother bird away so she shouldn't witness the demise of her offspring. When the person wants to take the chicks or take the eggs, Mashtikin Oso, we tell him to be quiet. Why? So the Mishnah says, because, maybe the Gemara says, because such a person is implying that the words of the Torah are rachamim. So I can find it here. The Torah implies, because such a person implies that the words of the Torah are rachamim and ve'enam elegzeros, and really they're only decrees. So that Mishnah seems to say that a person should not imagine that he understands the reasons for the mitzvahs of the Torah, and they're all just decrees, and we can't grasp them, we can't understand them, we shouldn't even try. Says the Ramban, that's a misunderstanding. Don't think that's what it means. He says, Kizo achas mishtei svaras. Svaras mishi yire ki ein tam the mitzvahs el chayve tzabore. There is that point of view that there's no reason for the mitzvahs. It's just a divine fiat. It's just a command from on high, and there's no explanation for it. There's no reason for it. There's no understanding of it. Vanachnu, says the Ramban, machzikin b'svara hashniya shiyeh b'chol hamitzvahs tam. And it's noteworthy that this is not the Rambam who is the philosopher, but this is the Ramban who is the frequent critic of the Rambam, as I'm sure you know, who is definitely more sympathetic to the Kabbalistic tradition and critical of the philosophic tradition. And yet the Ramban endorses very clearly Svara HaShniya, Shiyeh B'chol HaMitzvos Tam. There is a reason for all of the mitzvahs, says the Ramban. And he says that that which the Rambam said, that all the mitzvahs have reasons, very true. All of the commandments have a reason and a purpose. They're all beneficial for a person. In addition to the reward which a person garners from the Hashem himself. So the Ramban is of the view that definitely the reason for Shuach HaKein and the reason for many other mitzvahs is definitely to impart within us attributes of mercy and compassion and sensitivity. So he says, why is it therefore that the Mishnah says that a person says, Al Kantu Egir Rachamecha Mashtikin or so? Because it's a mistake to imagine that Hashem has mercy on the mother bird. It's not because Hashem has mercy on the mother bird. Hashem has mercy on us. He says otherwise, the Torah should forbid you to take the chicks at all, and the Torah should forbid Shechita altogether, and many other mitzvahs as well. He says, on the contrary, the Torah tells us that we have the right to exploit the animal kingdom and the world for our purposes, but Hashem wants to inculcate within us qualities of compassion and humanity. And therefore the Torah says that even when it comes to something like the anguish of a mother bird, you've got to first send her away so that she won't experience it, so that she won't see you taking her chicks. Says the Ramban, this is the approach to Tamei HaMitzvahs, that there are definitely reasons for all of the mitzvahs. And by the way, he says even about the Chukim. The Ramban says clearly even the Chukim, there is a reason. Just they're called Chukim because the reason is not obvious. In the case of the Chukim, it's much more, let's say, subtle, or maybe more difficult for us to understand the reason. But there is definitely a reason for the mitzvahs in the opinion of the Ramban, and certainly in the opinion of the Rambam. And I think that as we look closely at the sources, we find that while recognizing the pitfalls in the enterprise of Tamei HaMitzvahs, but the benefit is so clear. As we said before, the benefit of the Tamei HaMitzvahs is that the mitzvah is more attractive, more alluring, more satisfying. Just as food, which is tasty, a person eats it with more appreciation and more enthusiasm, and no doubt more frequency as well. I'd like to come back in the 2 minutes we have left to the subject of teaching Torah and the right way to teach Torah. We've seen already in Rashi the Lashon that Hashem, so to speak, tells Moshe, do not imagine, Al tale al davka lamar eshana lema perek valacha shnayim u'shelosh pa'amim. Don't think it's sufficient to teach it 2 or 3 times until they know it thoroughly. There is the element of love. There's the element of appreciation, of pleasure in understanding the Torah, which is so important as well. And in the bracha that we say in Brichas HaTorah that we said, probably everybody here said it an hour or two ago, we have the words V'ha'arevna Hashem Elokeinos Divrei Torah Secha Befinu. The word should be sweet. And this is one of the occasions in our liturgy where we actually pray that when we do a mitzvah, we should enjoy it as well. And that the study of Torah should be something which is fulfilling, which is satisfying, which is pleasurable. And this is the source of one of the most interesting passages in the halachic literature. It's really the introduction to halachic work. The Iglei Tal was written by the Sacher Chevre Rebbe, the Avnei Nezer. It's one of the most important works on Hilchos Shabbos. Tal is Lamed Tes Malachos. But in the Hakdama to the Iglei Tal, there's a beautiful passage which is oft-quoted, and you may well have come across it as well, and if so, it's a bit of review. Umidei Dabri Zachares Kroma Sheshamati. And now, since I'm on the subject of learning Torah, I've got something to say. I've heard a few people, Ketzas B'nei Adam, Toi Midera Chaseichel, B'inu Limit Torah Kadosha. Some people err when it comes to the study of Torah, va'omru ki halo meid u'mechadesh chidushim. Someone who studies Torah and who innovates novel interpretations, v'samach, and he rejoices in it, u'misaneg, and he has pleasure, b'limudo, ein ze limud ha-Torah kol kach lishma. It's felt in the lishma a little bit then. K'mo im haya lomed b'pshitus, she'ein lo mehalimud shuntanu, hu rak l'shem mitzvah. That's what some people imagine, that the person who delights in the study of Torah because he comes up with chidushim, which he finds very fulfilling and very satisfying, such a person it's not called lishma to the same degree as someone who just learns in a simpler way just to master the subject matter before him. He says this is a grave mistake. And he says people imagine, someone who learns and enjoys it, so he's like adulterating the purity of his Torah study with that pleasure and personal satisfaction which he himself enjoys. So the emes zet taus mefursam, says this is a big mistake. Va'adarava, ki zehi ikar mitzvah limud ha-Torah liyosas v'sameach misanei b'limudo. This is the ikar study of the Torah, is to enjoy it. to have pleasure from it, to have satisfaction and fulfillment and personal hana from the study of Torah. That is the grest of Torah Lishma. And he concludes, Valhalomi l'shem mitzvah umis aneg b'limudo hareze limud lishma v'kulo kodesh gan ki atanug mitzvah. He says the pleasure itself is a mitzvah unto itself as well, and that's where he sees Hasidic perspective coming through. But he says besides that, besides the fact that tanug in any case is something which is worthwhile, but when it comes to the study of Torah, it's especially praiseworthy. And the study of Torah lishma means that you should enjoy and find it satisfying and fulfilling. And I hope that we fulfilled that a little bit during the last half an hour. Thank you very much.